We tend to hear about post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, in relation to war veterans, but many sufferers here at home haven't yet finished high school. According to the National Survey of Adolescents, about 4% of teenage boys and 6% of teenage girls meet the clinical definition of PTSD, though adolescence can be hard to diagnose. Iyama Harris from Youth Radio reports on young people living with PTSD.
On the night of Stephanie Romero's 23rd birthday, she and her friend were attacked by a stranger.
My friend went outside to go have a cigarette, and there was this guy. He came out. He was harassing us. And
Stephanie says the man hit her and her friend. She was shocked.
It was just a total nightmare. I think about it all the time, and I've never gone through anything like that.
After the attack, Stephanie's friends and family noticed she was acting differently. She didn't go out as often. Her weight started changing. She was really depressed. Later, doctors diagnosed her with post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD.
Like PTSD, I thought it was just for veterans, but I found out it's not. It's for anybody who's experienced any kind of event where you can't get it out of your mind. It takes over your life, and that's kind of what has happened to me.
I can relate. When I was 15, my mom was murdered. I tried everything I could to deal with my feelings, including writing songs.
Dry my tears and kiss me goodnight.
But still, something was different about me. I noticed that I didn't feel like my normal self anymore, not only mentally, but physically. I was losing weight and my hair was falling out.
That's a pretty clear symptom that something is not going well.
Jamal Harris is a pediatrician at a community health center in San Francisco. He says he sees teens with PTSD at his clinic all the time, and that many of them have physical symptoms related to their stress.
Some examples of symptoms, especially in teens, will be problem sleeping, weight gain, and just being frustrated.
It turns out a lot of those changes are due to hormones your body makes in response to stress. This can be a good thing. For example, if a car comes at you all of a sudden while you're crossing the street, your body produces a chemical called cortisol, which helps you react fast enough to move before the car hits you. But for people with PTSD like Stephanie and me, it doesn't take a speeding car to set us off. In a lab at Stanford University, scientists are using a technology called functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI, to study the emotional reactions of patients with PTSD.
So we know, for example, when they're faced with a reminder of their trauma, that they don't activate the circuitry that we normally associate with emotion regulation, the ability to be resilient in an automatic, effortless fashion.
That's the lead researcher, Dr. Amit Ekin. He says cortisol, that's the same stress hormone that causes physical changes in the body, may also be responsible for the changes in the brain.
Over time, elevated cortisol can cause death of neurons in the brain, the kind that don't get replaced.
But that doesn't mean PTSD can't be treated. Scientists know talk therapy can be helpful. Ekin wants to understand how that kind of therapy might be repairing emotional connections in the brain, and he's recruiting volunteers.
Great job, Stephanie. How you doing?
Okay.
You're okay? All righty.
Stephanie Romero is one of the participants in Dr. Ekin's study. 10 months after her attack, she's still having trouble feeling safe.
It's always in my back of my head. Like, you just never know. Your life could change in like a blink of an eye. You know, you could one minute be celebrating your birthday, next you know you're in the hospital, and you don't know how you ended up there.
In a room on the other side of a huge glass window, Stephanie lies in an fMRI machine, which looks like a big tube with a small hollow center. I sit in front of a monitor as Ekin shows me different angles of Stephanie's brain.
A lot of what we look at with emotion is focused on certain regions of the brain. One of them is the amygdala, which is really important not only for guiding your attention and focus on a threat stimulus, but also for affecting your body. But somebody with PTSD doesn't activate that circuitry well.
Dr. Ekin asked Stephanie several questions to help him identify which specific parts of the brain are affected by PTSD, and how she feels throughout the experiment.
Does she feel in her body at the moment, or is she feeling, like many PTSD patients report, feeling a little out of body or detached or unreal?
I can relate to that unreal feeling. It started to hit me right there in the lab. Ekin hopes By understanding how that feeling plays out inside the brain, scientists will be able to come up with better ways of treating this disorder, whether it's through singing, talking, neuroscience, or all of the above. For NPR News, I'm Iyama Harris.
That story was produced by Youth Radio.